You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome to the preview show, and now your host, Mr. Mike Heck.
Well, hello there, everybody. It is Friday, November 27, 2020. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you're not completely full, because we have a lot of combat sports action ahead of us tomorrow night. We got UFC Vegas 15 at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas. And we have Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. That event is coming up tomorrow night as well. And we're going to talk all about them. But we're going to start with UFC Vegas 15, because around 3 or so hours ago, we found out that we have a brand new main event for the final November fight card of the year. And with that, we welcome you to our preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Jose Youngs and... Hello, Jose. And E. Casey Lydon as well. There he is. Fireplace and all. And Jose, let us begin with you, because we found out that Curtis Blaydes, unfortunately, tested positive for COVID-19. And the important heavyweight matchup between he and Derek Lewis is now off tomorrow night's card. New main event, former 205-pound title challenger Anthony Smith taking on Devin Clark. Look, man, I am as positive as it gets in this space, but it is just the facts. This card wasn't the most attractive one by any stretch of the imagination before the new main event. The old main event was kind of carrying the weight of it all in a lot of ways. Now that it's off, Smith and Clark is a fine fight. This is a pretty significant hit, is it not?
Yeah, it reminds me of when, was it Stipe and Ben Rothwell was supposed to headline in Dublin, and then the main event ended up being Louis Smolka and Patty, was it? Who was it that fought? Patty Houlihan, right? Yeah, so it's just a fine fight, but there was a reason it wasn't the headlining act to begin with, because if it was a fight that they wanted to headline a card, it would have been the original main event, but there was a reason it was the co-main event. So bummer all around, specifically for Curtis Blaydes, bummer for the fans, because there was some sort of heat between these two heavyweights. Like you said, it was an important heavyweight fight, considering the fact that the UFC heavyweight division has been so stagnant the last few years, with the title defended once a year for the past few years, and it's been between Stipe and DC, and Francis doesn't have a fight. This fight was supposed to kickstart the UFC heavyweight train over the next few months, and that's out the window. Hopefully they can rebook it, and hopefully Curtis Blaydes recovers 100% if he is feeling any sort of effects from the virus. But man, it's a bummer that it's this weekend too, because everyone was going to probably tune in for Mike Tyson and Roy Jones to begin with, but now I can't imagine a lot of people going to be tuning in for the UFC now.
Yeah, Casey. I mean, as far as this fight goes, the plan as of right now, according to ESPN, and our own Dan Martin confirmed this as well, they want to rebook this Lewis versus Blaydes fight sometime in December. And I'm not really sure where you're going to slide that in, because I doubt they're going to turn it around next week. Although the Hermanson versus Holland card, if you threw that on there, that'd be pretty cool. But I would doubt seriously that that's going to happen. UFC 256 already has 14 fights on the card. And then that December 19th card already has 15 fights on the card. So I don't know if they're going to be able to do this. Is it fair to say if in your gut, in your heart of hearts, Casey, that we're not going to see this fight till 2021 at the earliest? Or do you think the UFC has some magic in them to squeeze this in there somewhere?
I don't know why they would try to squeeze this in the next, we have three cards left. I just don't know why. Just save it for mid-January. Let's make sure whatever virus that is in Curtis Blaydes' system is completely gone. So I hate to do this whole thing again and Derek Lewis come back, make his big giant weight cut, do all that wrestling training, you know, for nothing again. So I don't understand why. Just hold it off to mid-January. We're good on fights for the rest of the year. So no, it's just no reason to rush this fight back. Just if you're gonna run it back in mid-January.
Of course, for those watching right now, we want your thoughts, questions, etc., whether it be for UFC Vegas 15, of course, Tyson versus Jones, that event going down tomorrow night as well in LA. Leave us questions. We'll talk all about it. Leave them in the chat. We'll get to them in a moment. But Jose, let's talk about this.
I have a question for you two, both. How many fight cards are on? These, like, there's what, 14 and what, 15 on the last two cards? You think there's really going to be 14 and 15 cards come fight night? Fights on those cards? I don't. Like, say it's cool, there's 14. I bet it drops to 12 in the next few weeks because, it, like we said, has there been a card?
What?
But there been a card?
No, no, no. That's not the issue. The issue is really Curtis Blaydes having the virus. And what? So sure. Basically, they're saying go back to camp, train again, cut weight while you still have this virus in your system. That's just.
Does Curtis Blaydes cut a lot of weight?
It doesn't matter about cutting weight. He'll be interacting with people. He'll be with his coaches. He has the virus in his system. So you're telling him go train with other people. He has to be quarantined now for 2 weeks. I mean, he can't. I mean, even if he's asymptomatic, you can't be out amongst his training partners and stuff. So I don't understand why if he has it in his system, why isn't he? This is when you're quarantined. That's how it works for everyone else. So I don't understand how you would train and be ready for a fight in 2 weeks when you should be quarantined. I don't know. Am I missing something?
I have a feeling they're gonna stick him on one at the end. I get it. I just have a feeling they're gonna stick him on a card no matter because it's the UFC. They're gonna do it.
Yeah.
I get it. Because they did it with RDA. They turned him right around. Like when he had COVID in like October, and then they booked him on a card in November. Like a couple weeks later. I don't know. Didn't they do a Glover and Thiago too? Didn't they kind of try to book him a few times?
Yeah.
So I get it, but. The UFC's booked people on quick turnarounds before when they've had COVID. Right. Yeah, so I have a feeling they're going to do it again.
Yeah. But you also had like a plethora of options. You could have done like if this happened in August, you had every Saturday through September, October, November, and most of December. Now you have, if you're going to do it in 2020, you have three other options. I would say two at best. And I mean, I guess you could like take a risk or take a shot and throw them on there and just see if something falls out. But it's just going to be a long night, and that's okay. I mean, if they can add it to either of those cards, sure. I'm totally okay with that.
I just don't see why, because there's just – those cards are loaded. Like, no one's going, you know what, we need one extra fight on that card. No one's saying that. We are going to lose some fights, and, yeah, it'll be down to 11 fights. Cool. Even 11 fights is too many. 10 fights is the number, you know. Like, but I just – it just seems dangerous and unnecessary. I just don't
– Yeah. I mean, it would have to go on 256, I would guess.
I would assume so, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. But so let's talk this new main event, Jose, because Anthony Smith, he's looking to get back on track. This is going to be his 50th professional mixed martial arts bout, taking on Devin Clark. Huge opportunity in front of him. First main event, definitely the biggest name he has faced in his entire career. What sticks out to you about this one at 205 tomorrow night? And on top of that, now we get a five-rounder, despite the quick changeup. How much of an impact does that have on this fight?
I mean, I'm sure it's going to impact the fight. Now you have to like look at it completely different, because what we were talking before we went on air, we were trying to figure out how many fights in a row Anthony Smith has headlined. Like dating back, I think his last not headlining fight was against Rashad Evans at UFC, what, 235, 238, something like that. It was at the Chicago card. I can't even remember. So it was that long ago when he fought Rashad Evans is when he had a 3-round fight. And since then it's been five round, five round, five round, five round against the upper echelon light heavyweight. So if we're always, we always talk about experience in five round fights versus your first five round fight. Devin Clark has never fought five rounds. Anthony Smith has pretty much only fought five rounds the last few years against John Jones, Gustin, Glover Teixeira, Ratchik. These are all guys who are top five light heavyweights in the world. So if you're giving, if you were giving Devin Clark any sort of chance in a three round fight, I think a five round fight drastically favors Anthony Smith. So, but Devin Clark could surprise us. But now I was pretty, it was like 60-40 for me, given how Anthony Smith has performed his last few fights. But now I heavily favor Anthony Smith in this fight.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because
quick correction. Ratchet, when we fought Ratchet, it was three rounds.
It was three rounds.
It was main event, but it was three rounds. It's just quick correction.
Yeah,
but I understand.
What was the original main event for that? Was that the Yair Zabit card originally? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I stand corrected.
No problem.
But again, five rounds is five. Yeah. He got smothered for five, like three rounds. So yeah. Still, bet he felt like five rounds in there.
The fight felt like it was five rounds.
Right.
Like, why make this one five rounds, but not the Rakic fight five rounds? It's just because both guys wanted it. I mean, it's interesting how that all played out. But yeah, Casey, with Anthony Smith, I mean, he had the loss to Jones, great win over Gustafson, the loss to Glover Teixeira, which ended pretty ugly. But if you go back and watch that fight, we talked about this before the Rakic fight as well, he did look pretty good early in that one. He was landing in volume. He had a great first two rounds, and then he just kind of ran out of gas. And then as you guys talked about, the Rakic loss, he just couldn't get anything going because he just kept getting taken down over and over and over again. And Anthony knows it's been a rough stretch. He's had a lot happen to him this year, the home invasion, all that stuff. He's not making any excuses, but outside of maybe the John Jones fight, Casey, this has to be one of, if not the biggest fight of Lionheart's career, because if he drops three in a row, not a good place to be at all. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, it's just a lot of pressure on Anthony Smith right now. And now he's bumped up to the main event. But Anthony Smith seems to, I don't know if he performs better under the pressure, but he definitely enjoys the pressure. And I don't know if this is good to be five rounds. It's weird that both guys agreed to it, but it's just, oh man, it's honestly, like, this is a fight I just didn't give that much thought to because this was a one fight card. So when I woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, never mind. I got to really look up Devin Clark's record a little closer. But yeah, a lot of pressure on Anthony Smith, a lot of pressure.
And Jose, if you're Devin Clark, are you just like, I mean, obviously the stakes have risen because it's a main event now, but do you feel like heading into an opportunity like this, you're kind of playing with house money here? Because if he loses this fight, it's not the end of the world for him. But if he wins, good Lord, I mean, this puts him in a whole different spot, maybe a top 10, top 12 spot at 205.
Yeah, well, like, what did Dean Thomas say about the light heavyweight division when he was on the A-side? Shallow, not deep whatsoever. So, yeah, Anthony Smith might be on a losing streak. But, again, what I said before, like, he's only losing to the best of the best. Like, if Devin Clark can put his name next to fighters like Glover Teixeira, Ratchik, like John Jones, like, those are the last few people that Anthony Smith has lost to. If Devin Clark throws his name into there, he's probably top 12 or at least deserves a top 12 fight, whether that happens or not. I'm not sure because I'm not on the rankings panel. But, yeah, to go from beating Alonzo Menafield to then beating Anthony Smith, what would it be, his third one in a row? Like, what, four or five overall? And who's he lost to? Like, Jan and Ratchik? Am I missing someone?
Ryan Spann,
who's, again, another really good fighter at light heavyweight. So, yeah, massive, massive opportunity for Devin Clark to make a name for himself.
Casey, you got a pick for this one? Jose said that he favors Anthony Smith heavily now that it's five rounds. What say you?
I'm going Devin Clark. I'm going Devin Clark in an Anthony Ratchet type performance. It's going to be a grindy 25 minutes. I don't expect fireworks. I think Anthony Smith just needs. Devin Clark doesn't need a big knockout. He just needs a win. If Devin Clark can get that win, that's all that matters. Anthony Smith, however, I think needs for Anthony Smith to kind of convince us that he is still a top contender. I think he needs to put a serious hurt in a Clark. But I'm picking. I'm going to pick. I'm picking Devin Clark.
I'm going to roll with Anthony. I think he needs him more. He's the wily vet. He's been in this kind of position before in his career earlier, but he's been here before. He knows what it's like. And, you know, back is against the wall. And Devin Clark is a talented guy. Mm-hmm. He's very close to getting to that next level, in my opinion. Game is coming together nicely. I thought the adversity that he overcame in the Menifee fights, he took some massive shots in that one, able to come through and get a win. But I think this will go down in the books as a very important fight in Devin Clark's career, despite getting a loss. I think it's going to lead to bigger things down the road, no matter what happens. And I've said this many times on these preview shows. I'm not coming at this with a technical back, just a technical breakdown sort of road here, but I'm going off my gut. My gut says Anthony Smith gets his hand raised and it's a close fight. And I think the odds have it right. I think right now Anthony Smith's around a minus 130 favorite. Wondering if those will change now that it's a 5-round fight, but we'll see what happens. But the rest of this main card, we're going to see Josh Parisian make his Octagon debut against Parker Porter. Second Octagon appearance for the New England native. Of course, Parisian, 2-time contender series vet. He was invited on The Ultimate Fighter. We'll see what happens with that one. Miguel Baeza against Takashi Sato. That's a fun one at 170. I really like that fight. Spike Carlisle versus Bill Algeo. That one's going to be crazy. So again, the names aren't the biggest on earth, but there is potential for excitement on this card and a lot of finishes. So,
vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a 2-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Well, before we get to the questions, initial thoughts, Jose Youngs. We talked all about it on Between the Links. We waxed poetically about Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones. If we had to choose one, we were going Tyson versus Jones as the card was. Now I feel like most people are definitely going to do that. But how, if you're Tyson, if you're the Legends Only League right now, do you feel a little bit better about things now that the UFC's head attraction is off the table here?
Where can we even watch Tyson Jones? Because I keep seeing that question in the YouTube comments. Where can fans even watch it?
Triller, and it's on regular pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I think it's on Fight TV too. Am I wrong?
I know it's on regular like DirecTV pay-per-view. I see it on my menu as like the little, you know, advertisement
because
all the time.
When this first got announced, they're like, oh, it's gonna be on Triller. I'm like, I have never heard of that app before in my life. So I was like, will fans even know how to watch this? But now that it's available on television and stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to tune in to Tyson Jones. I hope there's no hiccups with buying the pay-per-view, especially on Triller. Because remember when they put that graphic out with like the lowest bought pay-per-views, like the top 5 lowest bought pay-per-views or like the ESPN era or just the UFC in general. And they had Poirier Holloway was like number four, which also had Izzy Gastelum. And the only reason that fight had low pay-per-views was because there was some weird, it was like the first ESPN pay-per-view. And just no one knew how to buy the pay-per-view. So I was getting flashbacks to that, where if you have to download Triller and pay for it, I don't know if anyone's going to watch it legally.
How much is that?
But now that, no idea.
How much is that fight? $50. $50.
$49.99 to be exact.
$49.99. The fact that Logan Paul is fighting NBA, not NBA All-Star, Jed Meshew incorrectly said he was an NBA All-Star. NBA Slam Dunk Champion. Nate Robinson, everyone's going to be watching that pay-per-view card. So, but I'll be watching both. I'm sure you guys will be watching both too, because it's our job. But if I'm a fan, I'm probably watching Tyson Jones, and I have a feeling Dana White will be watching Tyson Jones too.
What else on that card? Badu Jack versus Blake McCurdin, light heavyweight, 8-round matchup. And then Vidal Riley versus former UFC vet Rashad Coulter, cruiserweight bout. Mm-hmm. So that's your main card. That's your $50 right there.
And have you ever interviewed Rashad Coulter?
I have a while ago. Good dude.
Interesting cat. Yes. You can ask him about he goes down the rabbit hole on a lot of things, but all of my interviews with him have always ended in talking heavyweight boxing, whether that was meant to be or not. Like, I could ask him about Francis Ngannou, and he'll be like, oh, he hits like Deontay Wilder. And then he just goes down the rabbit hole of heavyweight boxing. So, yeah, good for him to be on a card where he gets to show his love for boxing.
There you go. Right now, Mike Tyson, a -220 favorite over Roy Jones Jr., who's in at a +170. A draw is at +1,200. I feel like if you're going to put any money on anything,
bet on this?
How do you bet?
Can you legally bet?
You can legally bet anything.
Because there's no winner, I thought.
No, I think there is now.
Okay.
I think the rules came out, and then Triller came out with something else, and it's a little confusing right now. But okay. As of now, you can't bet on this fight. So there you go.
Okay.
So So if you find folks watching right now, you have UFC Vegas 15 questions. You got Tyson versus Jones questions. Bring them on.
Ready?
Bring them on.
Ready. All right.
We'll get after it.
Oh, that's from last week.
I know. That's about the rules right there.
Yeah. What?
That's the rules.
I just kind of. This is my evergreen question. I throw up that one when I can't find a good question. What?
What?
All right. Oh, here. From Mr. Boza, actually. Oop, fix this.
Does the canceling of Lewis versus Blades pretty much confirm that Francis Ngannou should get the title shot? I felt like it was kind of there anyways, but anybody look at it any differently?
No, because Francis was not getting the next title shot anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
The winner of this fight was not skipping Francis.
Yeah, and that was the problem with the card anyway. Even if the original main event happened, we knew nothing. It was just to stay relevant for Blades and Lewis. It wasn't as far as title contention.
And to get a paycheck.
And obviously you get a paycheck for everyone, but.
Because Derek Lewis is like constantly saying like, I don't care, I just fight him for money.
I love that part, Derek Lewis.
His interaction with DC before that press conference, it was Stipe, DC won, and then Francis and Derek. I think it was UFC 226, and they did like the embedded. And like DC and Derek Lewis were on the same side when they walk. Because you know they walk out on two opposite ends of the pay-per-view for like press conferences. They're like talking, and DC's like, you don't want to punch me, right? And Derek Lewis is like, man, I'll punch anyone for money. It's the most perfect answer.
Well, at least we'll get another Derek Lewis virtual media day if we can find any silver lining here.
I will say, though, I think a possibility is if Stipe is just off the shelf for a while, is the UFC ever going to do an interim? Do you think for a heavyweight? Because if John isn't going to be fighting, I still am not against, maybe won't be for interim, but if Ngannou wants to stay busy, just book Ngannou and Lewis. Yeah, I could see
Ngannou John.
Yeah. Either way, I could see Ngannou just fighting either Derek Lewis or John Jones if Stipe's out for a while. So
you're not wrong.
I think that's the only, I guess, different type of matchmaking that may come out of this cancellation.
I agree. Because I think Francis deserved the title shot even before fighting Jairzinho. And then he just cemented it with like a 30-second knockout. So I feel like it's going to be the same situation.
Yeah.
Like fight Derek Lewis, someone will win, and then John. Like if Derek Lewis wins, I don't think they could do Derek Lewis Stipe. But yeah, you're not wrong.
Skip over. That would be rude.
That would be rude. That would definitely be rude. Not enough people talking about Nate Robinson. Played Division I NCAA football and basketball, two-time NBA dunk champ, under 6 feet, and is now boxing. The dude is a freak athlete from Sean Guerrero. I would say, Jose, at this point, Tyson Jones is – it's a spectacle. It is what it is. Those are two names that are going to sell this thing. But I think if we're talking about actual boxing in an actual fight, I think the one that most people have their eyeballs on is – Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson. What say you? And is Nate Robinson not getting enough love here?
I think so, only because like what Sean Guerrero said in the YouTube comments, like he wasn't a two sport. I talked about this on the A side, I think, or I can't remember between the links. Like he's a two sport athlete in a Division I college. He was a freak athlete in the NBA. Like winning the slam dunk competition when you're under 6 feet is nearly impossible, and he did it three times. Should have been twice. Dwight Howard definitely got robbed one of those years. Or Andre Iguodala. Could have been both, honestly. I can't remember which one. But yeah, he's a freak athlete, and he might not have the sharpest boxing skills, because again, I've never seen Jake Paul fight, or whichever Paul brother. I know he has two. He fought on that Logan Paul KSI. I think he was the co-main event against like KSI's friend. And then he had another fight against another YouTuber. But those are YouTubers. He's fighting a professional athlete. So Nate Robinson might not be the sharpest boxer in the world, but I can almost guarantee you the cat hits hard and has insane cardio, because he's to run around a football field, to run around a basketball court, and professionally is already incredible. It's not going to be any sort of technical fight whatsoever. I would not be surprised if Nate Robinson just walked in there and starched Jake Paul, Logan Paul, whichever one it is.
Wait, there are two of them?
Yes. There's one of them is older than the other. They both look exactly the same to me.
I assume one was older.
One of them has a bunch of tattoos. That's literally the only way I can tell.
I didn't know there were two of them. I thought there were,
one of them is the one that threw the parties at the beginning of the pandemic. He was having the pandemic parties. And the other one is the one that took the photo or the video in front of the dead body in the suicide forest. So pick your poison.
Oh, God. I thought there was – okay. So they're both – okay. They're both kind of scum. Okay, whatever.
They're both awful.
Yeah, they're both awful. Oh, I feel bad for even, getting this information. I don't even want this information in my head, but why is Nate Robinson fighting –
I have no idea.
It seems very random. I don't understand. It's like you telling me, oh, he's gonna fight. I don't know. Name a random shortstop.
He's gonna fight. It's like, oh, did you hear Jake Paul's gonna fight Lance Berkman?
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, Lance Berkman. He's a star athlete. Yeah, he'll win. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, why am I talking about this?
I don't know where it came from, because at one point he Logan, who's the oldest one, Mike?
I have no idea.
Oldest one, Logan Paul, was trying to set up a boxing match with Antonio Brown, who is still playing in the NFL. I'm like, come on, guys, what are we doing here?
Okay, I've seen videos of NBA guys hitting the bag, and it's not very impressive.
No, but is it more impressive than a YouTube star hitting the bag?
I don't know what a YouTube star means.
He makes money off of YouTube. That's pretty much it.
I guess
a lot of it.
A lot of it.
So is this celebrity boxing, or are they real boxing?
No, this is 100% celebrity boxing, but it's like they're actually gonna. Is this some exhibition too, or professional fight?
This is a fight.
Is this the guy that sparred and wrestled with Paulo Costa?
No, that's the older one. That's the older one.
Logan. That was Logan.
Logan was actually a legitimate wrestler in high school in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like you can ask Damon Martin all about it, because Ohio is kind of a hotbed for wrestling. So Logan Paul has legitimate wrestling credentials. I don't know about Jake. So if he was going to do any sort of martial art, I would imagine he was going to do MMA. I have no idea why they're doing boxing.
Okay, so Logan Paul was doing the wrestling with Paulo Costa. Yeah. But he's not fighting Nate Robinson. The other one is.
No.
Oh, okay. Yes. I don't. The whole time I was thinking, like, oh, I've seen him, like, move around. He's in shape, dude. He's got good hips. Yeah. But it's a different guy. I thought it was the same guy the whole time.
His younger brother is 2-0, I think, in boxing. But, like, against, again, two YouTube personalities.
Oh, against the KSW, whatever?
So, again, I KSI? Said this, like, 30 seconds ago. Logan Paul fought KSI. 2-0. Logan Paul fought KSI, and Jake Paul confusing. Jake Paul, the younger brother, fought KSI's, like, his best friend. So it's Team KSI versus Team Paul Brothers, basically main and co-main event. It was like when Connor and Nate fought on the same card as Artem and Chris Avila, except it was like that situation. So Logan Paul, and KSI, I think, fought to a draw. And then Jake Paul beat KSI's friend. And then KSI had another fight against another YouTube personality. So he's 2-0 against YouTube personalities. And now he's going to fight a former NBA player.
I'm done with this.
Who knew that we would be giving airtime to the Paul brothers a la this is like Hamzat Shamayev-esque time on a preview show. For these two guys, but for those who want to know, lads, like on this, Logan Paul is the older brother by almost 2 years.
Logan Paul, okay, 2 years, okay.
Yes.
All right, get some questions. I apologize.
Maybe if Jake wins, they do him and Ben Askren next. Who knows?
Jake called out Askren and Masvidal, and then said, I will fight Conor McGregor. That fight will happen. I'm just like, go home, bro. Like, get out of my life.
So Ben Askren was talking about fighting these the guy that's fighting tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Because
I didn't know who he was talking about. I'm like, all right.
I only know this because I made a graphic out for our site. So Logan is the oldest one, right? That's what we established. So Logan tweeted something like, I'll give anyone $10,000 if they can, like, take me down or something like that, or, like, hold me down for however long. And Ben Askren's like, okay, I'll do that. And then Logan responded to Askren with a video clip of him getting knocked out by Masvidal, which is just lazy. And then Logan's like, and then Askren's like, yeah, it happens. I'm still going to wrestle you.
Oh, man.
Yo,
I love it.
Also, one, Dylan Danis and the Paul brothers constantly chirp at each other through social media. So that's where we're at in the MMA world.
Hey, listen, they're smart. People are talking about them.
We're talking about it.
Gina Mazzani versus Rachel Ostovich at 125. Does the loser of that fight get their walking papers from the UFC? We have to remember Rachel is back after 22 months due to personal stuff and USADA. Interesting question. Gina Mazzani came back on short notice. Her story about even getting her UFC release is kind of heartbreaking because she thought after she was actually released, no one actually told her she was released. She kept going to the PI and working out, kept letting her in. And then she found out, like, when she got her new management that she wasn't on the roster anymore, even though she thought she was. So she had one fight outside the organization, and then she came back on, like, a week's notice to fight Julia Avila. And that did not go very well for her. She got starched real quick. One of the fastest knockouts in women's MMA history. But Mazzani's back. Welcoming back Rachel Ostovich. Flyweight bout tomorrow night. What do you think, Jose? Do you feel like this is a loser leaves town match?
I think definitely for Rachel. Because isn't her – what's her record? 4-5? So she's already sub 500.
Yeah.
So she drops to 4-6, three losses in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Or two losses. I can't quite remember. And also had the USADA suspension, I would assume it would be her walking papers. And then Gina, this is her first fight at flyweight, right? She's already lost. She lost to Julia Avila at 135. So I think definitely for Rachel, and I think it would depend on – actually, if you lose to Rachel, probably. So I don't know. Probably. That's my answer.
Yeah, she's lost her last two, submitted in both of those by Montana De La Rosa and Paige Van Zandt. But first fight since January 2019, Casey. Do you feel this is loser leaves town, especially if it's Ostovich losing?
It really depends on how much the UFC cares about Rachel Ostovich's Instagram numbers, because that's about it. She really shouldn't be in the UFC right now. And this is a fight on a fight night card. And there's no reason either of them should or can be considered UFC level with a loss.
It's who is because I just looked up Gina's record because I was trying to remember who she's lost to. She's lost to Julia Vila, Macy Chiesa, and Lena Landsberg, and Sarah McMahon. Those are her only four losses. So she's not losing to scrubs. And those are all at lightweight too. So I'm curious to see how she does it. Because bantamweight. When she hit the scale, she looked shredded. Like she had more weight to lose at 125.
New camp too, training with James Krause and the MMA folks.
Oh, so this is her first time at flyweight then, for Gina?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I didn't realize that. I always thought she was a flyweight, but yeah. Gina should win this. Gina should win this. I'll be shocked if Rachel comes out on top of this.
Yeah, she's a minus. Gina's a minus 200 favorite. Okay, that's about right.
That makes sense.
What else we got?
All right,
If Smith wins tomorrow, should the UFC match Smith up against Thiago Santos?
Thiago Santos already has a fight, so it's not going to happen. He's fighting Rachik. He's fighting Rachik, and Reyes is fighting Jiri.
All right.
Yep.
So
if Smith, Luke Rockhold, why can't we make this fight? That's the fight. If Smith wins, it's
100%. If Smith wins, the Rockhold fight's the one to make if Rockhold wants to come back, because they hate each other.
Why do they hate each other so much?
Luke Rockhold said some stuff about Anthony Smith, and Anthony Smith responded with, he had some real awful things to say about Luke Rockhold. Basically said it's on site if he sees him in the parking lot.
Wow. I wonder if their beef goes back to Strikeforce, because they were both middleweights in Strikeforce together.
I think it has something to do with if Anthony Smith can get a title shot, I can get a title shot. Like, it was more like he was like, Anthony Smith is a bad. He's like, Anthony Smith is an awful middleweight. He's an awful light heavyweight, and he got a title shot. That's why I'm moving up. It was more like a negative remarks about Anthony Smith's skill set.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a fight to make. What is happening right now?
Oscar, breaking news. Oscar Willis is messaging me about Tyson. I'm like, look at this. Oscar Willis. It's some hack from the Mac Life. Jeez. Later.
What else we got?
All right.
Spike!
He's returned. He's back.
That fight's going to be wild. Bill Algeo is a wild man, too. So those two guys. I don't like to predict fight of the night before, but I'd feel comfortable saying those two guys are probably going to be fight of the night tomorrow night.
I don't know fight of the night, but someone's getting a bonus. How about that? I think Spike is remind me of Bill how do you say his name?
Bill Algeo.
Bill Algeo. What?
It's his second fight.
Yeah, I don't remember. God, I have so many new guys in the UFC. It's ridiculous.
You know? Do you remember Bill Algeo's nickname? Carl Lamas. Yeah, Carl Lamas' last fight.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, really good fight. Yeah, that was a good.
Senor Perfecto is his nickname. If that makes a difference.
That's right.
Well, it's by Carl.
Oh, he lost. So Bill Algeo was the one that Brandon Lochnane beat on the Contender Series, and Brandon Lochnane didn't get the contract. But then, when he fought Ricardo Lamas, Brandon Lochnane was like, why am I not fighting Ricardo Lamas right now? Because I think was Ricardo Lamas supposed to fight Ryan Hall, right?
Yep.
Was that the fight? Okay, yeah.
And then Ryan Hall fell out, and then they gave it to Bill Algeo, and Brandon Lochnane was like, hey, wait a minute. I beat Bill Algeo. Why am I not getting that fight? Because if you remember, because that was the season opener that year of the Contender Series. It's also the first Contender Series in the Apex. So I went for that tour. And then they did the fights right after. And Brandon Fitzgerald and Paul Felder both said the winner of Lochnane Algeo is probably going to get the contract. because they're both such highly touted prospects. And then obviously, you know what, Brandon Lagne didn't get the contract. And there was all that controversy around it. So yeah, that is my memories of Bill Algeo.
There's one every year on the Contender Series that should get a contract. It didn't. This year was probably Anthony Romero, but it is what it is. Matt Fedler, should Lewis fight someone other than Blades in December to boost the Hermanson-Holland fight night card or the 256 pay-per-view?
I actually like this. I think Blades, he needs to be out for a couple of weeks because if he has a virus in his system. So I just don't understand how he could come back next week. But Lewis versus really anybody on short notice would be awesome.
Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blades' main training partner, Alistair Overeem, would be a scrap because they don't like each other either. And Derek and Overeem doesn't have to cut weight. And I am confident that Alistair Overeem knows the path to victory against Derek Lewis. I don't think Overeem has a fight, if I'm not mistaken, because he keeps calling out Jair Junior.
He does. He's fighting.
Is it Volkov?
Yes.
Ah, man. Overeem would have been the fight, I think.
But they
called each other out a few times.
I would rather see Lewis versus almost anybody, really. Like, even the cop with two wins, the caucus,
Chris Daukus.
Yeah. I can't. Someone like, he's 2-0, right, in the UFC now.
Yep.
Yeah, he's good. Lewis versus any one of those guys. Just those new up and coming heavyweights. That's what I want to see. I want to see Derek Lewis get in there because I'm assuming the UFC isn't paying him for this week. So bring him back a couple weeks. Lewis should be fine. And give him one of those heavyweights. Who is that heavyweight? Oh, man. That really. God dang it. The guy who always suplexes his wrestling coaches after he wins.
Oh, no. We're not giving him Romanov. No way.
You don't think Lewis can handle that? You don't think Romanov can handle that?
I just don't want to see it.
You don't want to see
it? I don't want to see those two guys fight right now.
You like them too much? You don't want them seeing beat each other up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know
they're
you
probably
mean.
Friends. Those two would get along great.
Yeah.
But there's somebody out there. You could just showcase Lewis if you need
to. Yeah, that's what I mean. Just a showcase for Lewis, yeah.
You could have just like booted one of the heavyweights out tomorrow and just been like, listen, we'll give you your show money, but Derek Lewis is going to fight Parker Porter tomorrow night instead or something like that.
It's like when... It's like when Verdum was supposed to fight, was it Overeem in the UFC? And then when the fight fell out, they elevated Walt Harris from like the prelims, and then Verdum tapped him in like a minute.
But who got screwed over though? Who was Walt Harris fighting?
I don't remember.
That's what I mean. So who's gonna be the Aaron Rosa? You know, the guy that was fighting Seth Petruzzelli when Seth Petruzzelli got upgraded to fight Kimbo Slice.
Let's find out who was he supposed to fight. Actually, Derek was supposed to fight Verdum, and Harris was supposed to fight Mark Godbeer, and then Lewis pulled out. So then they removed Walt Harris from the Godbeer fight, and Harris fought Verdum instead.
That's right.
At UFC 216.
This is what someone said about as far as a winner, I guess, a winner for Tyson Jones.
Commission won't give decision, but there will be one by WBC or whatever. I'm trying to like pull up what Triller said. Let's see. Triller said, we never meant to imply that CSAC was scoring this or deciding on a winner. We are 100% clear that is not correct. CSAC has provided a referee, and that ref is there to make sure the fighters are safe and to make sure they fight under the rules. He will not be scoring the fight nor deciding a winner. Rather, the WBC has been engaged to both score and elect a winner. They have three judges who will judge remotely due to COVID, and like other fights have been provided recently, on behalf of the WBC and not on behalf of the commission, who will be deciding the winner and judging the fight. So... yes, WBC will be the ones like ruling on the fight, not the commission themselves.
Interesting.
So weird. But listen, imagine this, like, as long as, like, even if you just pretend, like, even if you just say, like, hey, in our heart of hearts, this guy won, at least you got something. It's weird, like, going through there and these two guys fought and there's no one announced as a winner. Like, what the hell is that all about? Who knows? It's all fun.
It's an exhibition match between two men in their 50s, right? They're both in their 50s, right?
What's going to happen if Tyson like lands a ferocious uppercut? Are they just going to stop the fight? Is that what's going to happen? They're just going to stop it?
They're like, ask Roy if he's okay. Then like, would you like to continue, sir? Like, I guess.
Just.
Hey, man, if people are going to pay $50 for it, you know what you're paying for. You're paying for an exhibition match without any real. I don't know what it is. You're paying for Nate Robinson versus the Paul. I don't know. This is weird. It's just
It's perfect. There's so much mystery behind this that you almost have to spend the money just to see what happens.
All right. I'm looking at another question. Hey.
Can Devin Clark wrestle Anthony Smith for 3 rounds? He could, but what's he going to do for the last 2 rounds, Prince? That's the question.
You only got to win three rounds?
That's true.
That's survive two.
Survive two.
He definitely could.
Which is actually kind of how I think the fight will go, to be honest, but we'll see.
I am excited to hear Devin Clark's dad in his corner for 25 minutes. Yeah. That is tremendous. That's tremendous television.
He's going to have to pace himself. Because right now in his head, he's been going, I got to do this for 15 minutes. But now the game changes for Clark's dad.
God, he's one of the personalities of the year, in my opinion.
I was disappointed because I was at Devin Clark's fight against Alonzo Menafield, and we didn't get to talk to Devin Clark at all because he broke his face in that fight. He still won, but we want to talk to him about his dad. I don't know if you remember, but he got down on one knee when they were doing fighter introductions, held his fist up and put his head down. So there was a lot of things we wanted to talk to him about, but we didn't get the opportunity. So, yeah, glad that he went from not being able to speak to the media to now headlining a card. So I'm actually really fascinated what he has to say if he does win.
If you want to get his thoughts about that fight, you can go back into the archives and check out prior episode of What the Heck. He joined us a couple days after that fight. Are y'all as excited for the Alpha Ginger as I am? Of course.
Of course.
That fight is going to be bananas. Him and Bill Alger are going to beat six shades of caca off of each other. I can't wait.
Whoa.
I know. It's language. That's going to be a fun fight. Why is Casey always confused? Why is that, Casey? Do you want to address this?
A lot of things are going on. I wake up. I'm expecting... Clark Lewis. I mean, sorry, Lewis.
Clark
Blade.
Lewis.
Lewis and Clark.
I'm expecting Lewis and Clark documentary, and all of a sudden there's people fist fighting on my screen.
It's like, oh, I thought this was about the Louisiana Purchase. What is this? What is a history lesson here? Not a cage fight.
There is a serious lack of Sacagawea on my screen right now.
So, there's your answer, John D.
That's funny. What's Baeza's ceiling if he beats Sato, and who do you think Baeza should be matched up with his next bout? I assume if victorious. Baeza is a very exciting prospect.
Yes, he is.
Undefeated. Yeah. He's one of those guys that you kind of have to be careful with, but you're kind of excited about too. Like, I feel like he could hang in there with, I don't know if he can hang with top 15 guys just yet, but I think you could start throwing him. You know, I mean, the win over Matt Brown was super impressive. This is a good next step for him. I did not like the Mickey Gall idea at all. I definitely didn't like that, but we'll see. I mean, I he's definitely a 170er to get excited about. What do you think his ceiling is, Jose?
I mean, he's undefeated, and he's like, his fight against Matt Brown was pretty violent. But again, it was fighting Matt Brown in the year 2020 after Matt Brown took that long layoff. So I think we're going to answer a lot of questions on Saturday against Sato. But in terms of if he does win, who would I like to see him fight? I don't know. Like, Tim Means, I think, would be a fun fight. Tim Means just won. I think they're probably on that. If there is, like, say we're doing a top 50 welterweight rankings, I feel like Means and Baeza would probably be somewhere in like that. They're within 5 of each other. So Tim Means has fought like, what, 1,000 fights? They would be similar on the similar calendar, like trajectories. And Tim Means has made it known he fights for the paycheck rather than his being the, like, obviously I would imagine he wants to be champion, but his first priority is fighting for a paycheck. And I like the Tim Means Baeza fight, if Baeza does ones, of course. Matt Brown beat Tim Means on UFC 189. It was the only exciting prelim fight on that card. The main card was probably the greatest main card ever. Prelims weren't great. But yeah, so that's my answer. Baeza, Tim Means, but in terms of his ceiling, we're going to get a lot of answers on Saturday.
Yeah, I like him. I like the Means fight too. It's a good idea. Yeah. If they don't do Means versus Robbie Lawler, which could happen. Yeah,
you're not wrong. Nicholas Dalby too, I think, because I'm just trying to think of welterweights that everyone won recently.
I was going to say that. I was going to say Baeza versus actually either Danny Rodriguez.
Yeah. Or Dalby.
Dalby.
Who's the Leech fighting? Doesn't he have a fight? Is he fighting Dwight Grant?
Dwight Grant. Yeah.
Maybe the winner of that too. Like, there's a lot of fun fights for him at welterweight.
Yeah. Sure. Baez is in that, the way he fights, his style, and kind of where he is in the rankings. Like, as long as he wins, like, he's going to be an exciting fighter. We're going to see him kind of this kind of right outside the top 15 for a few more fights. But if he looks good, yeah, I really don't have. I can't put a ceiling on him because I just don't know how good he is. And everything right now shows that he can be really good, and we're going to find out.
Agreed.
You know what?
Good.
Too soon?
No. Interesting. One thing I do want to touch on, Damon Martin is listening on. I don't know if he's a part of the media day calls that's going on right now, but there's a lot of talk about Anderson Silva, how a lot of these promotions have already been reached out to. You know, do they want to bring him in? And they're all saying no. Ryzen apparently has interest in him. Love to make his dreams come true, so to speak. But Roy Jones Jr. did say that if all goes well and he feels good and he performs admirably tomorrow night, he can see the fight with Anderson Silva going down. What do you think about that idea after this?
Would
you Jones Jr. versus Anderson Silva?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm in.
Yeah. Why not?
No problem.
Yeah.
As long as they're allowed to knock each other out.
Yeah. How long have they been talking about that fight? Like 15 years? They've been talking about that fight for a long time. So, like, yeah, sure. Why not do it in 2021? Ryzen. Like, why not do it in Ryzen?
Ooh.
Like, if Floyd Mayweather, you know how Floyd Mayweather keeps talking about fighting again in Japan? Stick it on the same card. Put Floyd Mayweather in the pay-per-view, whatever. I know I don't want to see Floyd Mayweather fight in Japan again, but if they're going to do it, stick them all on the same card.
Man, I want to see Anderson fight in Ryzen so bad. I want to see him I want to see him get that big entrance that we haven't seen in years. I want to see him do his dance. Come out, dancers. Just he has that 100-yard runway to walk down. Like, I just
because if he fights in Ryzen, they could do the cross promote. They do cross promotion with Bellator, right? So like Ryzen would be paying Bellator, not Ryzen would be paying Anderson, and he could fight a Bellator fighter. So why, like, we could see MVP versus Anderson Silva in 2021 in a boxing ring, which would just check all of the boxes for me in terms of a fight I would want to watch.
There's actually a lot of fights I want to see for Anderson outside the UFC. I'm actually pretty excited about it. I'm not even gonna name him yet because I don't want to people ooh and ah and go, that's a great idea, Casey. But I'll hold off on this.
You don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to jinx anything, folks. So there you go.
Curses are real. Trust me.
Yep. For sure.
Actually, real quick, let's get some just basic questions out. What time is everything tomorrow? Do you know?
Are we talking about, I know for the UFC, prelims are supposed to start at 7, main card at 10.
Ooh.
Eastern time.
By the way, why would you? Yeah, 10 Eastern. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Can we do this early? We like the early start times, but it is what it is. I don't know. Start time, 9 p.m. Eastern main card for Tyson Jones.
All right.
So cool. There you go. You can watch it on all traditional pay-per-view providers. You can do it at the website TysonOnTriller.com or Fight TV for the low, low price of $49.99.
What? Only of, that's less than $50. What a deal.
I know. Treat speaking yourself.
Speaking of Triller, when I was in Las Vegas recently and Oscar Willis, we were like trying to figure out how Triller worked. The user interface might be the worst I've ever seen for social media. It is like you can't do any, like you can watch a video, but like you can't, unless they update it or whatever, like you couldn't turn it horizontal because they did like this documentary series that was only on Triller. Like I couldn't turn it horizontal. There were like these buttons all over the screen, like if you want to comment or like or share, you couldn't get rid of them. So they were just there the whole time. So you couldn't hide anything. It was just like this user interface was the worst thing I'd ever seen in my life. And if that, I can't imagine watching a boxing match on that.
So your advice to the viewers is Fight TV or pay-per-view on your TV. Mm-hmm. No Triller. Mm-hmm. Stay away from that.
I mean, unless, again, I had my experience with Triller was weeks ago. So maybe they've updated it by now, but I can also see something like, remember when they tried to do, when they did Maymac and you could buy it through the UFC Fight Pass and then it just didn't work because way too many people tried to buy it. I don't know if Triller will be able to handle all of those people tuning in on their app that is fairly new. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people shelled out $50 and then the app crashed. Wouldn't be surprised.
We'll see. They're saying there are experts out there and maybe it's just legends only themselves saying that, so far, this is the record-breaking pre-sale for a pay-per-view event heading into tomorrow. But we shall see. It will be fun, folks. It will be fun.
Who pays?
We'll find a way.
Who pays money beforehand for a pay-per-view? I still don't get that.
Like maybe it's maybe you want to pay because so like you get two paychecks a month. You want to buy it ahead of time on the paycheck that doesn't go towards your rent. You know, because some people pay rent with the last paycheck of the month, and then the first paycheck of the month they use for like whatever else they want. So that could be because I know that because that's what I used to do back in the day. Like my first paycheck, I would order the pay-per-view. Second paycheck, you pay rent.
So you're living paycheck to paycheck, but yet you still got $50 to watch.
I mean, not anymore, but I was at the time.
Hey, I'm just saying priorities. Priorities.
Yeah, people. Man. Before I covered the UFC and MMA for a living, and there were less fight cards a year. So, like, remember, like, there was that era when pay-per-views you couldn't miss. So, like, of course, I'm going to buy, like, Shogun Machida with my first paycheck, and then I'm going to pay rent the second paycheck.
Paying rent. Overrated.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, before we get out, can you guess how many pockets this jacket has?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Are we counting inside?
It's a pocket. It's a pocket.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm going to say 8.
8 pockets. Hold on. This is... Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wait, I counted that twice. Wait, I lost count. 8, 9. Wait, maybe. And there's one in here.
10?
So I get 10 pockets on this.
My downfall was I didn't see the pocket above the pocket at the top.
Yeah, this hidden pocket. Yep, yep.
Yeah, that was my downfall.
Yeah, so I haven't worn this jacket in like in a year or so, and I found all these candy wrappers in different pockets. It was fun.
Mm. Wow. 10? That's a lot of pockets.
Yeah.
What do you do with all those pockets?
I don't know.
But, it's like a 1990s comic book superhero with all those pockets. Some people get
that. That's right.
All right. Well,
utility belt.
So, you know, that was going to be the final, how many pockets was going to be the final question to answer on the show. But before we leave, I think.
So we got Candy Lee and Casey Pockets. That's what we got. Whoa. Ooh,
the next UFC fighter that should appear on Dancing with the Stars. Listen, there is only one correct answer to this question. It will not be the right answer, but there's only one name that deserves this. I'll go last. Jose, who should it be?
Henry Cejudo. Casey? Henderson Hero. I will put a lot of money that Henderson Hero was going to be the next guy.
Stipe Miocic.
It's Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is the guy you should put on Dancing with the Stars. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's the guy. Promotional push personified. That dude would take he might win. Because people would fall in love with him. Even like non-fight fans would fall in love with that guy. He's just so he's hilarious. So funny.
I can see in every episode, no matter what song, ballroom dancing salsa, it's just Derek Lewis going like this. And everyone's like, yeah, I like that guy. I'm voting for him. Is that how Dancing of the Stars works?
Yeah, you just vote. It's all popular vote.
I wouldn't mind seeing Yoel Romero, too. I think he'd be. Can you imagine all the lifts he could do? That'd be crazy. Just flipping the ladies over. Just, I don't know. All right.
I could see Cejudo on there sooner rather than later, though.
Well, Cejudo actually makes sense. I'm just.
That's my smart money.
That's smart money. But that's interesting. And the music is playing. They're playing us out, folks. They're playing us out. So lots to get excited about tomorrow. We got all your coverage here on MMAfighting.com for UFC Vegas 15. And, of course, Tyson v. Jones. Get excited, ladies and gentlemen. Get excited. I believe the face-offs for Tyson Jones, 5 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have that video on the website as well. So we're getting out of here. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody. Save that money with your Black Friday shopping. Small Business Saturday tomorrow. Support your local businesses. For Casey Lydon, Cyber Monday on Monday. Save that money. Casey, Jose, I am Mike Keck. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.